Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God,
have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me.
Let them be put to shame and confusion.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, by your gift alone, your faithful people render true and laudable service. Help us steadfastly to live in this life according to your promises, and finally attain your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Old Testament reading for the 12th Sunday after Trinity is from Isaiah chapter 29. Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest? In that day the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exalt in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless shall come to nothing, and the scoffers cease, and all who watch to do evil shall be cut off. Who by a word make a man out to be an offender, and lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate, and with an empty plea turn aside him who is in the right. Therefore thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall no more be ashamed, no more shall his face grow pale. For when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will sanctify my name. They will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. And those who go astray in spirit will come to understanding, and those who murmur will accept instruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad.
The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all, because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel.
Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, He put his fingers into his ears and, after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus heals the deaf, mute man, and then he does something that on the surface seems very, very strange. He charges them to tell no one about it. In fact, the implication is that he gave them this charge more than once, indicating that he was serious about it. He wanted them to zip their lips. They, of course, didn't listen to him. As we're told, the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They witnessed him heal this man. They saw the miracle happen before their eyes. A deaf and mute man could now hear and speak. And the one who gave him that ability was Jesus, which astonished them. So they blabbed about it. They went about telling everyone they could. They could not shut up about it. They told everyone. And in so doing, they did the very thing that Jesus told them he did not want them to do. We often just pass over this little detail in this text and in the other places where Jesus charges people not to tell anyone about the miracles they witness him doing, which he often does. We do so because, like the people who witness them, we are prone to focus and home in on the miracles themselves, as if they're the most important thing. They're not. They're merely signs, as St. John tells us and calls them in his gospel, pointing us to the reality of who Jesus is and why he has come. That's why Jesus wants them to hush about the miracles. He doesn't want people flocking to him to see a miracle-working faith healer, and he knows that's exactly what will happen if they go about blabbing. And in fact, this is precisely what happens. Word gets out about Jesus, and multitudes begin flocking to him, most of whom come simply to see the show. They want to get a glimpse of this man who can give sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and speech to the mute. They want to see him in action, healing the lame and the lepers, feeding the multitudes, turning water into wine, and so forth. And if they're really lucky, they might even see him raise someone from the dead. But they'll settle for something less, one of the lesser miracles. They really just want something that they can see which is cool and amazing, astonishing. Because of this, Jesus is often forced to retreat to desolate places. When the crowds come, he spends the vast majority of his time teaching them about his kingdom, but the majority will not listen. They do not hear him. They simply want the show, so they press in on him and demand things of him, and he must escape, going to desolate places for prayer. Some things never change. To this day, multitudes of people flock to those places where they've heard that Jesus is doing miraculous things. Some huckster false prophet claims to be anointed by the Holy Ghost to perform healings in Jesus' name, and stadiums are packed. Crusades all across the world where multitudes come to see crippled people healed and blind people given sight, even though none of it actually happens. A smiling preacher, Joel Osteen, America's most popular preacher, preaches self-help motivational messages he claims will help people discover the champion in them that God wants them to be, promising them that God has an overabundance of health, wealth, and prosperity to give to them if only they'll do whatever it is he says to do. And 50,000 people listen with anxious ears each week. millions more via the television. There are churches popping up all over the place, all the time, claiming to be new kinds of churches, places where you can be entertained and see a good show without having to be bothered by all that religious stuff. You know, all that old-fashioned stuff about sin and grace, Christ crucified, repentance and the forgiveness of sins. All that nonsense, they say. They have billboards all along the highways. These last few weeks, as we were traveling around a little bit, I saw plenty of them. Billboards and fancy websites advertising their new churches, which are churches for people who don't like church. I even saw one recently along the highway that advertised this new church that was, get this, an unchurch. Come to our place, we are unchurch. What an advertisement. These, of course, are some of the more glaring and obvious examples out there of how Jesus as faith-healing entertainer, miracle-working Jesus, is still so popular today. But you find the same false understanding of who Jesus is and why he came all over the place. It's rampant in social media, where unknowing people, well-intentioned people, share some pretty outrageous and downright goofy things about Jesus, the church, and Christianity, most of which is focused on some mysterious personal relationship you can have with a Jesus who is not in any way present with you, except in your heart and mind, or your emotions and feelings. Examples abound. People still to this day want a different kind of Jesus, a Jesus to do something for them that they can see and experience and that they can talk about and be astonished about. They want a Jesus who will do something to them or for them to make their lives better some way. Give them more money or more things or a better relationship or whatever it is. The examples abound. But what about you, O sinner? How often have you been tempted to think of a Jesus who is a faith-healing miracle worker who can do something amazing for you? How often have you allowed your own feelings and emotions to determine how you picture Jesus, or at least how you wish he was or would be for you? How often have you had those thoughts? You know, maybe there is something to this whole spiritual but not religious thing everyone talks about. Maybe we really should think about making church more fun and entertaining. Maybe it would be better if the pastor did tell some jokes and share some stories so that we could be entertained. Maybe it would be better if he gave us some practical advice that we could apply to our lives instead of going on and on about Jesus all the time. Repent. When you have such thoughts, you are guilty of putting your mind on earthly things rather than on heavenly things. And you don't need it. That's the point. You don't need earthly health, wealth, and prosperity. You don't need any more fun and entertainment in your life. Good Lord, you get enough of that. You don't need to hear more jokes and stories or another person giving you practical advice. Go to the bookstore and get a million different books giving you millions of little tidbits of practical advice. Most importantly, you don't need a Jesus who is nothing more than an imaginary friend in the sky manipulating your feelings and emotions. What you need, O sinner, is a Savior. And that is exactly what you have in Jesus Christ. not a life coach, not an advice giver, not a counselor, not your co-pilot, not the dude that walks with you on the footprint or leaves footprints in the sand, not the imaginary feel-good Jesus up there, but the Jesus who is your Savior. That Jesus is not a new Moses who comes to give you seven steps to make your lives here on earth better. He doesn't come in the way of the old covenant. The old has given way to the new. He doesn't come providing you with a list of do's and don'ts so that you can have some sort of morality checklist that you can use to gauge whether or not you're going to heaven. As so many wrongly think. The ministry of condemnation has given way to the ministry of righteousness. The law has given way to the gospel. The old covenant has been overcome and fulfilled in the new. For Jesus has come to exchange his righteousness for your condemnation by fulfilling all the law with his perfect life and paying the full price for all of your sins with his sacrificial death on the cross. That's what you need. Him, the forgiveness, life, and salvation that is yours through him and only through him. He takes your place. He dies that you may live. He suffers that you might have eternal glory. He becomes the sinner, bearing the sin of the whole world in his own body, that you might become a saint, bearing his holiness and righteousness and eternal life as a cloak clothed about you. That's what you need. It's the only thing you need. For everything else in the world will come to nothing. All of it will be destroyed in the end. It will be meaningless. You can't take it with you when you go, as the old saying says. But those who belong to Christ will dwell with him in his kingdom, which has no end. You are the deaf and mute man in the gospel lesson. That's the point. It isn't about how Jesus is able to perform miracles. It's about how he comes to be your Savior, how he comes to heal you. He took you aside to the baptismal font where he spat on you with water and said to you, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. He opened your ears so that you could hear the good news that he has claimed you as his own, that you belong to him now, that you are a dear saint and child of God and a fellow heir with him of his eternal kingdom. And he continues to visit you with his grace and healing here in the desolate place of his holy church, where he fills your ears time and again with the good news that you are forgiven of all your sin, despite whatever circumstances there are in your world to lead you to believe otherwise. He opened your mouths so that you might speak plainly, that you might speak in an orthodox way, you might make the good confession. He washes you clean with the very body and blood he gave and shed for you on the cross as he opens your mouths and feeds you in the Holy Supper. That's the point. You are the deaf and mute man who has been given to hear and speak by Jesus himself. Come then, O sinners redeemed by Christ the Crucified, to the holy altar and be filled with the love and peace and the very life that never ends. Come not as those who deserve it, not as those who want some kind of miracle or touchy-feely moment with Jesus, but come with the prayer, make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me on your lips. For here is where you are delivered and helped. Here is where you are healed and sanctified. Here is where you, sinners that you are declared righteous for Christ's sake, seen by your heavenly Father as perfect and holy as those who deserve and will inherit Christ's eternal kingdom. More than all of that, here is where all the miracles Jesus performed during his earthly ministry find their fulfillment. All of those miracles were signs pointing to the reality of the Word become flesh to dwell among us and save us. And here is where the Word become flesh continues to dwell among us and save us. That Jesus, the real Jesus, lives. And he continues to dwell in the midst of his church via his holy word and sacraments as he has promised he would, to heal and save sinners like you and me with the greater miracles of those means of grace that he spoke about so often when people got bogged down with the earthly stuff. And now, you no longer have the charge to tell no one about what Jesus has done, but your mouths are now open to rejoice and be glad in him, telling others when given the opportunity that you know where Jesus is, because so many people have no clue. You know where the Word of God comes down on earth, as you just sang in the hymn a little bit ago. And in your confessing, in your witness, as his praise is continually in your mouth, you boast not in yourselves or how your lives have somehow changed or how you are living better or how you are more moral now or whatever, but you boast only and always in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has done all things well, who even makes deaf and mute sinners like you hear his word and confess his saving work to those who would hear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. This congregation, that our ears would be opened by the Spirit to the gospel of peace and salvation, and that our lips would show forth our thanks and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Church throughout the world, especially for our Synod, that God would bless all congregations, pastors, and agencies to serve faithfully and without fear, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors, that God would give them boldness to speak the truth in love and compassion, so that they would not break the bruised reed, but rather lovingly care for all sinners in need of God's mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all in authority, by whose service God provides for us the gift of order, including parents and family, our government, our police and firemen, our military and our schools, that God would give them strength and endurance to carry out their duties for the good of those entrusted to their care, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, the frail, the dying, and for all those suffering in this vale of tears, especially those who have requested our prayers, including Bill Harmon, David Gursky, Marlene Miller, Ella Shaw, Bob Wendt, Corrine Ellenbos, Tom Ellenbos, Scott McCollum, Landon Culp, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd Duby, James Whiting, Maxine Cull, David Jerry Gerard, Sherry Schauer, Pastor Dan Chambers, Sally Messer, Chris Woodrow, Miriam Sohn, Cameron Snell, John Lemmerman, Brandy Bradley, Jane Tennant, Kimberly Tolk, Katie Jacklett, Matthew Myers, John Myers, and Cheryl Myers. That God would focus them upon Christ and his love, and if it be his will, restore them to health. We pray also for doctors, nurses, therapists, and all who tend our brothers and sisters in need, that God would bless them as they put the talents he has given them to good use. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who will partake this day of Christ Jesus' most holy and precious body and blood in the sacrament of the altar, that they may discern Christ's body and come before the table in humility and faith to receive the forgiveness of sins and salvation from Christ Jesus himself, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Gracious Heavenly Father, accept these petitions for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, and fulfill them according to your good and gracious will, as you know is best for us. This we pray in the name of that same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Samuel.
For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
The very body of Christ given for you. very body of Christ given for you. The 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 very body of Christ given for you. Thank you. holy and precious, true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.